The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 52, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hathikari, recorded on January 5th, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 52. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Yataharo bhagavati
nenang bhaktir bhavishyati
sarvatmanya kila dhare
iti sankopya varnaya.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please describe the science of Godhead with determination and in a manner by which it will be quite possible for the human being to develop transcendental devotional service under the personality of Godhead Hari, the supersoul of every living being and the summum bonum source of all energies. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the philosophy of devotional service and the scientific presentation of man's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prior to the age of Kali, there was no need for such a book of knowledge to know the Lord and His potential energies. But with the beginning of the age of Kali, human society gradually became influenced by four sinful principles, namely, illegitimate connection with women, intoxication, gambling, and unnecessary killing of animals. Because of these basic sinful acts, man gradually became forgetful of his eternal relation with God. And therefore, man became blind, so to speak, to his ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is not to pass a life of irresponsibility like the animals and indulge in a polished way in the four animal propensities, namely eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. For such a blind human society in the darkness of ignorance, Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight to see things in proper perspective. Therefore, it was necessary to describe the science of God from the very beginning, or from the very birth of the phenomenal world. As we have already explained, Srimad Bhagavatam is so scientifically presented that any sincere student of this great science will be able to understand the science of God simply by reading it with attention, or simply by regularly hearing it from the bona fide speaker. Everyone is hankering after happiness in life, but in this age, the members of human society, blind as they are, do not have the proper vision that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all happiness, because He is the ultimate source of everything. Janma yasya jataha. Happiness is complete perfection without hindrance. Or rather, happiness in complete perfection without hindrance can be achieved only by our devotional relationship with Him. And it is only by His association that we can get free of distressful material existence. Even those who are after the enjoyment of this material world can also take shelter of the great science of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they will be successful at the end. Narad is therefore requested or ordered by his spiritual master to present this science with determination and in good plan. Narada was never advised to preach the principles of Bhagavatam to earn a livelihood. He was ordered by his spiritual master to take the matter very seriously in a missionary spirit. Ama gyanatim adandashaganandana shalakaya shakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manomishtam shtapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakadamayam dadati svapadantikam. I had misread the word in is, but actually it also reads correctly. Happiness is complete perfection without hindrance. That's actually a fact. So the great liberated spaceman Narada Muni, our predecessor Acharya, he is being very nicely instructed here how he is to present the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are very relevant and pertinent instructions because we, as the followers of Narada Muni, are also expected to follow in his footsteps. Each and every devotee in the line of Narada Muni is also meant to be a proper expounder of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We should know the Bhagavatam and we should expound the Bhagavatam. What is the qualification for expounding the Bhagavatam? One has to live the Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam elsewhere describes Nashtrapaishvabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. One should always be engaged in serving the Srimad Bhagavatam book and the person whose life is Srimad Bhagavatam. So is that only supposed to be this devotee or that devotee? No. Every single devotee must learn how to turn his whole life into Srimad Bhagavatam. Begins with the mind. If we cultivate proper knowledge by hearing regularly, as Prabhupada is saying here, reading with attention, or by hearing it from the bona fide speaker, you see, these activities give us the ability, more and more and more that we go on hearing. These activities give us the ability to see everything through the eyes of the Bhagavatam. In our present status, we see things through the mind. But there's some serious problem in that, you see. Very serious problem. The mind is perceives through the help of its extension, namely the senses. But the difficulty is the senses are imperfect. We may hear a sound, we may think it's a conch shell blowing, but maybe it's you know, somebody honking a horn. The senses are imperfect. And because the senses are imperfect, what happens? One has a tendency to be illusioned. And what happens when you're illusioned? What do you do? Do you know what you do when you're illusioned? You know what your tendency is when you're illusioned? You make mistakes. You see, we make a mistake. And in spite of being covered by these imperfect senses and being illusioned and making mistakes, we still think, yes, I'm a big, big expert. This is called, and we present ourselves as a great learned person. Someone has really got it together. That's called cheating. So that's our present position. The mind is keeping us in this conditioned consciousness. That's why we desperately need the Bhagavatam. This is the suitable medicine for bringing us out of the darkness of ignorance. We must take this wonderful Bhagavatam, live it, breathe it, everything, Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam. This is the book that Prabhupada brought with him. Of all the books, all the Vedic literatures, what book did he bring on the boat? Srimad Bhagavatam. Such an important work. Please describe the science of Godhead with determination. So that implies you could also describe it without determination. So he has to be told specifically to describe it with determination. So what is the difference? In what ways can one describe it with determination? Well, the describer could think, he could be very determined that this audience must, I must describe it so, with such seriousness and also attractiveness that everyone will get the message. That nobody will be falling asleep in the back of the temple room, you know. Describe it with such attractiveness and seriousness that everybody in the room gets the message. That's one sort of determination. The speaker's determined everybody who's sitting in this room must be tuned in and they must get the message. The speaker could also be determined that we must understand the Bhagavatam in such a way and live the Bhagavatam in such a way that the whole world will get the message, not just the people in this room. And that's actually our mission. It is described. This literature is meant for bringing about a revolution. So that revolution begins right here in the heart. Revolutionize your consciousness. Revolutionize the world, you see. This is a revolutionary literature. Sometimes they think, well, the Communist Manifesto was revolutionary, you see. Or this literature, or that literature. No. These are all simply the same old wine in different bottles. That's all. This is the actual revolutionary literature to completely transform the human society. So the speaker, he has to present it in a revolutionary way. With revolutionary determination. Not simply some Hindu mythology. And then, it is continued, in a manner by which it will be quite possible for the human being to develop transcendental devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Hari. So, the Bhagavad speaker, he is not meant to speak thinking, well, I want to impress people that I'm a great speaker, or I want some followers, so, you know, or I want some donations, or, you know, some motive for his own gain. He cannot preach in that way. He must simply think how I can serve these persons who are hearing me to encourage them to develop pure Krishna Bhakti. So it is simply service. It is pure devotional service to try to help someone revive their dormant Krishna consciousness. There is no greater welfare work. Sometimes they criticize. What do you Hare Krishna people do for society? All I see is you're, you know, standing on the street corner and playing some drums. I mean, why don't you do something to help humanity? See, they don't understand that this is the actual welfare. They think, well, opening hospitals, feeding the poor, you know, inoculating epidemic victims. They think this is the only welfare. But they do not know what is actual welfare. They don't realize why we are suffering. They want to treat the symptoms, but they don't treat the disease. If the disease can be cured at the root level, then the symptoms will go away forever. But if we simply try to treat the symptoms, you go on treating the symptoms forever and they'll keep coming back and back and back. Just like weed, if you chop it off at the surface and you leave the root in the ground, what will happen? That weed will come back. But if you pull it out by the root and get rid of it, then there's no more weed, finished. So all these mundane welfare activities in this material world, they're simply chopping off the root of the weed at the surface. The cause for all varieties of suffering, adiyatmik, adibhautik, adidaivik, is the living entity is divorcing himself from Krishna. You see, that's the root cause. We have gotten divorced from Krishna. We have broken our relationship with Krishna. Tried to be separate from Krishna. So no matter what you do, you will always be in difficulty. Always be in difficulty. So the highest welfare work, not only highest, the only real welfare work is to reconnect the living entity with Krishna, to bring him back to Krishna. The only real welfare, para upakar. This is the only real welfare activity, to reconnect the living being with Krishna. There is no other welfare. It is all cheating business, that's all. I am a great humanitarian, I am a great altruist, worship me. It is simply cheating business. They want to puff themselves up. I am great because I do so much charity work. Thank you very much. So Bhagavatam cuts through all of this nonsense. Dharma projata kaita vautra paramo nirmatsaranam sadam vejam vastava mastu shivadam tapotriyam mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni kateng vishvaraha sadhya hirdya varunyate kriti vimashishu. I'm just now forgetting all the wordings of that sloka, but it is a beautiful verse, second verse of Bhagavatam. That completely kicking out all varieties of cheating religion. This Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. This truth uproots the threefold miseries. What is the need for any other scripture? Simply by hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, one can achieve all perfection. Of course, other scriptures were accepted in reference to Bhagavatam, the same line of wisdom. Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, etc. It is all presenting Bhagavatam philosophy. The philosophy of surrender to Krishna. Everyone is looking for joyful life. Everyone wants happiness, everyone wants satisfaction, everyone wants peace. But because people are not trained properly, they think they'll find it somewhere else, you see. In Spanish language, the word sin means without. So sometimes people, what is the definition of sin? Sin is anything that makes you seem Krishna without Krishna. You see? That is sin. So we have to do a inventory. Everyone has to take their own inventory. What do I do during my 24 hours? What am I doing that's helping me to be Krishna conscious? And what am I doing that's hurting my Krishna consciousness? You see, an intelligent person will do this. He'll always analyze his 24-hour activities. What's going on in my mind? What's coming out of my mouth? What am I doing with my body? Is this helping me to be Krishna conscious or is it hurting me? I may find some temporary pleasure, just like some devotees, they go to the cinema, you see. They get some temporary titillation of the senses. But what is the result? You come out feeling dirty, actually, very dirty. Because you fill your mind up with so many rubbish images which have nothing to do with Krishna. And those images keep going around the mind, around and around and around. They just keep swimming around the mind again and again and again. And it's hard to get back into Krishna consciousness after sitting and watching a mundane movie, you see. This is a problem in our society. Many devotees go out and they watch cinema. This is a pollution that's infiltrated our movement, this tendency for cinema. You see. This has to be weeded out. Because this pollutes the heart. This prevents one from tasting the true nectar. We think we need a cinema because while I'm feeling a little down, if I watch some movie, it'll pick me up. That's rubbish. We forget how much nectar there is in one pure utterance of these two syllables. Krishna. There is so much nectar in one pure utterance of Krishna that the whole universe cannot contain that nectar. Just like a gulab jamun, you see. It is oozing. If it is well soaked in that gulab jamun juice, it just oozes out, you see, that gulab jamun juice. So, if there is one pure utterance of Krishna within this universe, there is so much nectar in that one pure utterance of Krishna that the universe will be so full of nectar, it'll ooze, even though it's so thick. You know, the coverings of the universe, they're so thick. But one pure utterance of Krishna is so, has emanates so much rust, so much juice, that it'll ooze out through the coverings of the universe. That's how powerful is one pure utterance of Krishna. So who needs a damn movie? A stupid, concocted, karmi movie. Because you have to pay money for it. All we have to do is, if you need something to pick you up, well, chant in some extra rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see? We have to learn how to become sages. Why is it that we are still karmi? We're still attracted to karmi things? You see, it's not good. We have to become sages. Can you imagine Vyasadeva coming down from the Himalayas to check out a cinema? You see? Prabhupada was in New York City. That is a big capital of theater. Broadway, off-Broadway. It's very famous. So did Prabhupada. He had Bhagavad Gita classes on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. On Tuesday and Thursday, did he go for theater? See, the other swamis, they would do those kind of things. Other swamis and yogis in New York, they would teach their classes, have their disciples, and then go off for cinema and theater. Did Prabhupada do that? Was Prabhupada frustrated? Oh, I can't go because Guru Maharaj doesn't want me to go, so I have to sit here and miss the cinema. Was Prabhupada frustrated that I can't go to cinema because Guru Maharaj doesn't want me to go to cinema? Of course not. That'd be ludicrous to think that Prabhupada was feeling frustrated because he couldn't go to the cinema. Who would want to go to some stupid damn movie, you know? A bunch of karmis dancing around trying to squeeze some pleasure out of their senses, you see. Simply dancing dogs, that's all. Who wants to go sit and watch some dancing dogs for 2 hours? Pay some money to watch some dancing dogs, you see. Actually, we read last night one letter. Prabhupada was explaining to one gentleman what are the four regulative principles described, prescribed for initiated devotees. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no cinema. The regulator, he included within gambling, cinema, no cinema. You see? So if I've taken vows of initiation, that means I must give up. I may have liked cinema very much, but now I'm initiated devotee, I must give up cinema. Otherwise, how am I a disciple? You see, how can I say I'm a disciple if I'm going for cinema? That is hypocrisy. Disciple means no cinema, no television. He's not interested to sit around and watch TV shows. This is Krishna consciousness. Many people, they ask me, all right, how can I become Krishna conscious? I say, well, you have to rise early in the morning, chant japa mala. They say, well, I can't get up so early because I go to bed, you know, late in the evening. I say, what keeps you up? Well, I sit around and watch television with my family every evening. You see? So it doesn't work like that. You have to give up sense gratification if you want to become Krishna conscious. If you continue to indulge in sense gratification, then you will continue to get what you've always gotten. So my question for you is this. Are you satisfied with the cycle of birth and death? Do you like birth, death, old age and disease? Do you enjoy adiatmic, adibhautik and adidaivik miseries? So if you continue to do what you've always done, which is sense gratification, then you will continue to get what you've always gotten, which is birth, death, old age, and disease. Does it satisfy you? Do you like it, getting old? Is it fun getting old? No, it's a misery. Here I am going deaf, you know, it's not very fun. See, your hearing is gradually going into nothing. Getting old is miserable, actually. Very miserable situation. So, if we keep gratifying our senses, that's what we're going to get. We're just going to keep going through birth, death, old age and disease, lifetime after lifetime. So, we're going to have to do something different than we've done for all these millions of lifetimes. That different thing is devotional service. Devotional service will liberate us from this material existence. And that means we can't behave like ordinary karmis. We have to give up our bad habits. Sleeping in the morning, sleeping during Brahma Muhurta, going to cinema, watching television. We have to give up these karmi habits and replace them with devotee habits. Rising early, singing, diving deeply into the sweet nectar of Gurvastakam and Tulsi Puja, Prabhupada's Guru Puja, these wonderful activities, Bhagavatam, if we learn how to dive into these activities, then we can taste unlimited happiness in this wonderful, wonderful Bhagavatam culture, 24 hours a day, you see. So, this is our request. Kindly take seriously this process of devotional service. Do not mix it with karmi consciousness. Take very seriously pure devotional service, ahaitaki bhakti. You will not be frustrated, I promise you. You will taste the inconceivable nectar that you couldn't even imagine existed in this universe if you will follow this instruction. The bliss you will taste, you couldn't imagine. You knew Krishna consciousness was good, but you would never imagine it was that good. I urge you, take the leap of faith into pure devotional service, kicking off all karmi mentalities, all karmi habits. Get them out. Weed them out of your heart. Weed them out of your daily schedule. All the karmi stuff, get rid of it. And you will taste the sweetest nectar, I guarantee. And if not, I'll give you $10,000 cash. So you can't lose. So, are there any questions? Is it clear? Are you prepared to do it? Kick out all the crud, all the nonsense? Become very serious about pure devotional service? Are you ready to do that? Are you not ready to do it? Let me know. Who's not ready to do it? Who wants to hang on to karmi mentality? Who wants to hang on to being the karmi mentality? No one would dare raise their hand. But in your own heart, you have to ask yourself, am I really ready to do this? Ahaituki bhakti. You see? Ahaituki apratiyata yayatma supersedati. Unless you come to pure devotional service, 24 hours a day, unmotivated bhakti, you will never be fully satisfied. That's a fact. Guaranteed by Bhagavatam. You have to come to a haitaki, a pratiyata, 24 hours at every minute, plugging into pure devotional service. Whether you're at the temple, whether you're at the office, whether you're driving in your car, whether you're here, whether you're there, wherever you are, 24 hours a day, pure devotional service must be your mood. To conquer over the senses, subdue the rascal senses, and bring them into Krishna consciousness at every second. That determination must be there. To become Krishna conscious is to declare war against the material nature. Are you ready to make war against Maya? Or would you rather sleep? That's my question. Are you prepared to fight? Or do you want to sleep? What is the answer? Who's ready to fight with Maya? Let's see a show of hands. Jai, Hari Bol. It's all right. Now the Suva Temple, we are all on the warpath today against the material nature. So we are all compatriots in arms in Lord Chaitanya's army, fighting the Maya within our own hearts and fighting the Maya in Suva City, fighting the Maya in Fiji, fighting the Maya in this material world to defeat this rascal material civilization and bring in the Vedic culture once again. You see, this we must do. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.